We're back on the air. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how we feeling, buddy?
Spike, Jackie Baseball, it was close, but it's still a win. Holla at your boy.
Never a doubt.
Wow, there's a lot of doubts on your Twitter account last night, buddy boy.
How about that masterclass, by the way? Yes. A masterpiece on my Twitter account.
You know, and I
turned out well for you.
I want you guys to know that if we're ever in a situation when one of you gives up a big home run to an opponent and the opponent stares you down, I'm putting that guy on the ground the next time I get a chance. I just want you to know that's what you got in me. Might not be what they have in each other, but that's what you got in me. So we use the Phillies pause.
We'll address that later.
We'll address that later. And we do have a good show, by the way. Good show for you today. The great Brian Mitchell will join us at 3 o'clock to talk about our new number 3 wide receiver, Jahan Dotson.
Mitch. Yes, sir.
So he will be with us at 3. That'll be interesting. And also, we will have another interview today for the commissioner of our fantasy football league. That's right. Buzz has stepped up to the plate and is interested. So later in the show, we will interview Buzz to see whether he's up to the task. But we take this pause in the Phillies meltdown to talk about our Eagles today. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the internet today, as I do in the morning, and I read an article on ESPN. The headline was, and it's by all of their reporters, all of their NFL Nation reporters, this isn't just one person, win-loss record ceilings and floors for all NFL teams in 2024. So what is the ceiling for the team and what is the floor? And of course, I scroll down to the Eagles, and it says their ceiling 13-4, their floor 8-9. And they say the biggest X factor for the Eagles is offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. So I ask you this, Ike, if you had to choose one that is more likely for the Philadelphia Eagles this year, 13-4 or 8-9, where would you go?
Well, first of all, who'd you say that was?
It's actually Tim McManus that wrote the little blurb.
Definitely was listening to the show yesterday when I talked about Kellen Moore. So, shout out to Tim McManus.
Well, you know, I like Tim McManus.
Well, I do, too. Good I give man. Him credit. He listens to the show.
Absolutely.
No shame in that. No shame
shout
in that.
Out Tim McManus.
Yes. To this question, they're obviously closer to 13-4. I mean, I'm having to hold myself back from going 14-3. Right. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Until September.
Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to lock in at 13-4. I think 13-4 is a fair expectation for this team. See, that's part of it. I don't want to be unrealistic with my expectations for the team.
Totally fair.
That's a fair expectation for the team. At 13-4, I was at 12-5, and I was already feeling good. And the news broke today that Howie has been working the phone lines, and we've added a third wide receiver, former first-round draft pick, Jahan Dotson, out of Penn State. Boy, I tell you, I'm not a big fan of the Giants or the Nittany Lions as a winning culture, but we certainly keep grabbing up the players.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We certainly get – well, he's commander.
I say the Lions. I meant to say the Giants.
The Giants.
The Giants and the Nittany Lions.
Nittany Lions,
that's what I was talking about, yes.
We got
in trouble yesterday for cooking too fast.
Yeah, no.
Yes. I got to slow it down.
Yeah, red light district. They got yet another red light district player.
But yes, I'm excited about where they are. This is a team. See, this is where you have to – you got to woo-saw a little bit, bring it down, because you can catch yourself becoming too excited over the potential of this football team. And then you forget about the defense having question marks.
Sure.
So that's really my only question marks on the field stuff. I think offensively, talent-wise, we're going to be fine. I'm not worried about our offensive line. I'm going to trust that Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts will be on the same page. And Jalen Hurts is already in a great frame of mind. He's already talking about he feels physically better right now than where he was last year. This season is setting up to be what was the Jalen Hurts season of 2022. Like, that's what it's setting up to be, and even better for him from an individual standpoint. But as far as the team, listen, 13-4 is great for the regular season. We obviously have Super Bowl aspirations, and this is a Super Bowl caliber team. Only problem I see is, and while I'm not making them a lock for that, is that they aren't head and shoulders above the rest of the talent in the NFC. The talent in the NFC has caught up. You know, they may not have exact amount of talent that the Eagles have, but Detroit, Green Bay, San Francisco, you know.
Even the Rams.
The Rams. I mean, if Dallas can get their stuff together, the talent is there.
Sure.
So it's not like the Eagles are just head and shoulders above everybody. But I feel like they're battle-tested. And more importantly, Spike, and this is, I think, is the driving force for us. This is why I feel good about this team. They're motivated. They are motivated. They are motivated by naysayers. They are motivated by, more importantly, forget about the naysayers. They're motivated by their past failures of what happened at the end of the season last year. That wasn't a true representative of what the Eagles are as a team, who Jalen Hurts typically is as a quarterback, and who Nick Sirianni wants to be as a head coach. So what it forced them to do? It forced them to reevaluate themselves, eat a little humble pie, and come back hungrier this offseason. Even Howie seems to be a little hungrier this offseason. I feel good about where this team is. Obviously, health matters. This team stays healthy. I think they have what it takes to be in New Orleans. We're not doing predictions on the season just yet, right? We're not
right.
doing that just
no,
yet.
No, but all we're doing is more likely one or the other today. So
I'm just
no
saying,
predictions yet. Oh, no.
You like gumbo?
All right. We don't need to do that
yet. I'm
just
saying.
All right.
Super Bowl is in New Orleans this year.
I actually
love to go to New Orleans.
Can't eat gumbo.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God. With this veganism.
I suppose we could find a place that would
do it. I'm sure they got that down there somewhere.
Yeah, we have to check everywhere we go. Like, can we get the vegan gumbo?
I'm just saying, if it's gumbo that is the sell,
just get ready for it.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what else. New Orleans is famous
for. The little...
It's the Creole food, right? The beignets?
The beignets at, what's it called? No, at Café Du Monde. What are they? That's beignets there.
Yeah.
They're good.
I was going to say, you asking Jack?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. They have the chicory coffee there and the beignets. Okay. No, it's good. It's good.
They have bidets there?
No, not bidet.
Not...
All right.
Yeah, see? That's what I mean.
Okay. So what is more likely for the Eagles this year? Their ceiling of 13-4 or their floor of 8-9? You said a lot of things there that I agree with.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing that you touched on last, by the way, as a positive for the Eagles, I don't care about them trying to prove anybody wrong. Mm-hmm. I do care about them looking internally and saying, what can I do better, and prove it to themselves. Because trying to prove it to other people, then you're always looking for somebody to prove wrong. You know, they are responsible for screwing up last year. So to me, proving it to themselves is important. And we're not doing our final things, so I'm still around where I was, the 10-win thing. But if you're asking me what is more likely, 13-4 or 8-9, I think 8-9 is more likely than 13-4 is. 13-4 suggests to me that everything went right, that the defense really was not just passable, but the defense was a little bit better than passable. Mm-hmm. If they're going to win 13 games, the defense, I think, will have to qualify as good. And
yes.
I've got a lot of questions. I think what it comes down to me is that there are a lot of things that have to be answered in a positive way to get to 13-4, but there's not that many things that have to be answered in a negative way to get to 8-9. So if I'm around 10 wins, 8-9 is closer to that than 13 is. To me, for 13-4 to happen, boy, we're going to need a yes answer out of Bryce Huff. We're going to need a yes answer out of Jalen Carter. We're going to need a yes answer out of Josh Sweat, probably. We're going to need a yes answer out of this core of linebackers that we have some optimism there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need an awful lot of contributions from a secondary that is a bunch of young guys and maybes at this point outside of Darius Slay. And Slay's older, coming off injury, all those things. So I think when I'm looking at it, if you're asking me what is more likely to happen, what is more likely to happen, by the way, is that we get, and by the way, we have two new coordinators and a head coach in a new role that he has not been in, at least in the NFL. I think there's just a lot of changes. There's a lot of ifs. And if you're going to ask me what's more likely, I think it is more likely that we end up with an 18-9 season than we end up with a 13-4. Is this team the best team in the NFC season?
Bro, for us to go 8-9, I mean, everybody on the team will have to get hit by a damn car or something.
I mean, seriously.
You need to have all types of injuries for them to go 8-9.
I don't think so.
They'll roll out of bed and win 10 games this year.
And by the way,
remember how Jahlil Okafor used to roll out and get 20-10? Yeah, that's how we're going to roll out 10 wins easily.
Notice he did not actually roll out of it and get 20-10. I just want to inform you that that was just a thing to say. You know, that people said when they liked him. And the final thing, and hopefully this will fade away. We've talked to Elliot a lot during training camp.
Yes.
And he has spooked me a little bit.
I knew it.
About the friggin' offensive line.
I knew
stuff.
It.
He has spooked. I was, you know, I had gotten to a peaceful place with the Cam Jurgens thing with he will be good enough. But then Elliot started talking about offensive line depth and there's the right guard and Becton's hurt all the time. And what if Cam Jurgens isn't good and blah, 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 blah. So Elliot did, maybe that part will fade off. It's not high on my list, but that's where I am. 215-592-9494. What is more likely for the Eagles this year, their ceiling of 13-4 or their floor of 8-9? And we do have another spot today to get into the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. We're going to do what we did on Monday. You call with your sports point, but at the end, if you want to be in the league, and by the way, you have to be able to attend the draft in person on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, you tell us why you deserve it. Why are you going to be a good addition for the Fantasy Football League? I also don't want to hear about how long that you've had Eagles season tickets. Like, take that off the list. It should be something.
It only took you a couple months, buddy. Welcome.
Yeah, yeah. That is not getting you in the Fantasy Football League. Jack, real quick, more
Thank
likely
you.
13-4 or 8-9.
Yeah, it's time to get serious here. Because I feel like some people, they look at my Eagles opinions and they're like, I don't know if he's being serious.
Yes.
They're obviously closer to 13 wins. It's not even close.
Wow.
Like,
what is this?
Yeah, but they are. Listen, at some point, you have to just look at what's in front of you. And what's in front of you is the best offense we've ever seen on paper. With Jalen, like, they're making his job about as easy as it could be. Like, if he's not in the MVP discussion this year, if something goes,
I'd be shocked.
Like, incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
And the defense, they did get an upgrade in coordinator. Like, last year, I think they were just so bad, so no one knew which way to go. They were basically just chickens with their head cut off. So I think they're much closer to 13-4 than 8-9. 8-9 feels almost impossible at this point.
8-9 feels disastrous.
Well, just so we're clear, there, and I know gambling lines aren't everything. The over-under for Eagles wins
I pay attention to it now.
Yeah, I know you do. Paying attention, you might need to pay more attention based on what you've told me. you might need to study just a little bit more. Their over-under for wins this year is 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
So 10.5 is 2.5 wins from 13, and it's also 2.5 wins from 8. So
that's good math.
The Vegas line would say that they are equidistant between the 13-4 and 8-9, which is probably why Tim picked them, by the way. But for you to say they are obviously closer to 13-4, and by the way, the on paper thing. When was the last time we had all this talent on paper that we were all so happy about? It was dream team time. So just because they have, I'm just saying, just because they have a lot of talent on paper, it still does have to translate. They had plenty of talent last year, too. So maybe not as much as they do this year, but they had plenty of talent last year, too. 215-592-9494. Oh, wrong mouse. There we go. Starting us off, Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
First of all, let's just get one thing straight. That ain't true. The last time we had this much talent was the Super Bowl year in 2022. And what happened? We went to the Super Bowl. So don't be going back to those dreams. Dream team talented. Looking back, they weren't even really talented like that. They called themselves that. A bunch of has-been players.
Well, but Corey, nobody was going into the season in 2022 saying that this is the most talented team in the NFL. Nobody.
When you looked at the Eagles on paper in 2022 with Devontae, A.J. Brown, Miles Sanders, I get there was question marks, had an elite O-line. You had Bradberry, who people had upside it. He wasn't looked at the way he's looked at now. You know what I'm saying? T.J. Edwards had upside. You had a stacked D-line. You had the point shaver, Hargraves, and who people had upside with, Fletcher Cox, Brandon
point
Graham.
Shaver.
You had a good secondary. We traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like,
you're just but you're just naming talent. People now, man. You can't just say we had Graham and we had C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
So everybody I named wasn't looked at as good players. Don't do that, Spike. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that, Spike.
No. You are saying you can't compare if you're saying that this is the most talented team, da-da-da-da-da, and comparing it to 22, look, I wasn't here in 22, but I don't think anybody was going into that season saying, hey, this team is the most talented Eagles team on paper.
Well, we didn't know at that time.
Right, right.
Yeah, we didn't know. So, the defense certainly was light years better than this.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, the defense, I mean, we had two deep on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, well, you had and you had a Hall of Famer in the middle of the defensive line, you know, like, and so I, and you had, by the way, the guy who we're hoping that Hassan Reddick is as good, we're hoping that Bryce Hall is as good as Hassan Reddick.
I forgot him. I didn't even say his name. I didn't even say that, dude.
Hassan Reddick had 19 sacks that year.
Exactly. We had five dudes with double-digit sacks.
So you think you're going to have that this year, too?
I'm not saying that. Okay. The defensive side of the ball this year was not stacked like that year. But the offensive side of the ball is more stacked this year than it was that year. Last year, let me just break down the call real quick.
Is it really, though?
So we talking about
– Is it really? Let me ask you this, Corey. You're saying the offense is more stacked this year than it was in 22. I could tell you that you could have...
I'm talking about last year. The offense is more stacked this year and in 22.
Okay,
year.
So let me ask you this. If I could say you could have Miles Sanders and Jason Kelce or Saquon Barkley and Cam Jurgens, what would you rather have?
I'll have Saquon Barkley and Cam Jurgens.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why. Let me give you the breakdown why.
Good question.
Let me give you my rebuttal.
Yep.
All right? First of all, we're looking at what Jason Kelce did as a Hall of Fame player. A Mount Westmore guy, I give it that. And he's a great player. But what I'm looking at, when I'm talking about Saquon Barkley and when I'm talking about Cam Jurgens, if you look at what happened that year, we don't know what Cam Jurgens is going to be, right? Miles Sanders had a good season. He had a good Pro Bowl season, S season. I give him that. But is he the talent that Saquon Barkley is? Let's look at what Miles Sanders is right now without the Eagles. We saw what Saquon Barkley was without the Eagles, right? So who do you think is going to benefit more from playing behind this team with these playmakers? Saquon Barkley? Because we saw what he did with the Trash Giants team. Or Cam Jurgens joining a good, decent offensive line that already has three Pro Bowl players. Which one you think?
I will say this, I was going to call you Miles, Corey. I will say this. I take Miles Sanders' rushing yards from Saquon Barkley this year if I can get him. Like, if you can get nearly
1,200.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It was close to 1,300. It's 1,295. So if you can get close to 1,300 rushing yards out of Saquon, I don't know if we're getting 1,300 yards rushing out of Saquon.
I'm just saying.
I hope we are.
I'm just saying we know the comparison between Miles Sanders that year and Saquon Barkley this year, we have some idea about how close they are. We don't really
Saquon that year in New York was better than Miles Sanders. Yes.
Yeah. I just
remember, that was the year Saquon got him to the playoffs.
When they won 10 games.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones was pretty good that year too. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that makes you optimistic about Saquon this year. But I just like for us to say that this offense is more talented than that offense was. I think we're talking about skill position players. Obviously,
right.
We think Saquon's better than Miles Sanders. But is Saquon more better than Miles Sanders than Jason Kelce? Is there a bigger difference between Jason Kelce and Cam Jurgens and Saquon and Miles Sanders? I would say yes. Until we have an answer on Cam Jurgens.
Looking at one player, like what I'm saying is like,
well, the other guys are the same.
One player, you said what?
All the other players are pretty much the same. From 2022.
And I feel like most people, if you put a poll, you know, we like Twitter polls. Who do you think a better receiver, Quez Watkins or Jahan Dotson?
Oh yeah,
I mean,
forgot about our new guy. Yeah, I forgot about our new guy.
So if you looking at that, that's what I'm saying. And even if you looking at last year, and this is what I talk about expectations. And I don't want to bash other teams in the city because I love the Philly Sixers, do y'all thing. But it's like last year we collapsed down the end of the season, 6 or 7 games we lost, and we went 11-6, and we have trepidation going into this year, and we say this team is close to eight wins. But they were 11-6. Look at the 10 teams or the 11 teams that they beat, and we're saying that this team can't do better than that, and they didn't even play well last year. That's the kind of expectations we got. They was 11-6 and didn't play well.
Yeah, but Corey,
I actually think this guy, and we also forget the Eagles had the toughest schedule last year of anybody.
They did, but you're saying these players didn't play well last year. Well, it's these players. So just expecting that they'll play better, I can understand it, but the Eagles were never a real 10-1 team last year, and they probably weren't as bad as they looked at the end of the year, and they probably ended up exactly where they should have been wins wise, plus or minus a win here and there. Mm-hmm. I understand where you're at, but for everyone, for you to be like, it's obvious that they're closer to 13. I just don't know that that's that obvious. I don't.
All right. All I'm going to say is Spike, you know, we already got our thing. You know, we talked about going to the game. I'll buy dinner. I'll buy dinner wherever. And I come back to Philly if the Eagles win 8 games. I'll buy dinner.
Well, that'd be a depressing dinner, honestly.
that's how confident I am. And it's a global station. Everybody can hear this. I'm putting that on the radio. A bet. 8 wins. Only way they win in 8 games is if Jalen Hurts get hurt. That's the only way. That's it. If he out there 13 games, man, I mean all games, man, give me 13. Please put it in your bet book.
I'm glad. I would rather it be 13. I would much rather it be 13. I would rather. I'm not offering you another thing because I already said I'd take you to Philly.
Yeah, what are we doing?
This guy's trying to get a free trip to Philadelphia. Yeah, he's got to be real here. He wants Philly tickets and then to come back at the end.
He wants dinner. I'm not letting you buy me dinner. Like, what are we doing here? So, all right.
I put my side of the bet. You don't even got to reciprocate. I'm telling you, I'm going to do that no matter what. You don't even got to reciprocate.
I don't care.
All right, brother. All right, man. Did you have a thing on the Phillies before we go?
Oh, yeah, real quick. See, last night y'all talked about who's the better rivalry. So you know how – and you an animal guy. You know how, like, when you got old shoes, old tennis balls, and you give it to your dog to play with? That's what Atlanta is. See, Monday, they thought they was doing something. So, you know, dude want to run around the base or see it looking around like, oh, yeah, we're somebody. But you see what happened, boy. Man, y'all ain't nothing but a tennis shoe that we give to our dog. Y'all want to play and talk? Get here. We tossed y'all to the dogs, baby.
We showed them. We barely won because Weston Wilson got a hit. Bryce really showed them.
Weston Wilson on the team, it's a W, baby. That's all that matters.
Yes,
win and loss. I'll holler at y'all.
All right, brother. Wow. Huh. Corey just trying to line up bets. How many dates am I going to have with Corey? I'm going to have to go to the game with him. Then we're going to have dinner, you know?
Just suck it up and move here.
Yeah.
That's the big takeaway from Corey.
Yeah. What are you doing in Columbus?
No one likes Columbus.
Yeah, get out of there.
Ohio is just a...
You know, it's a great state.
We got to have a GoFundMe for Corey House in the Delaware Valley somewhere.
I think so.
So coming up next, you know, we have heard a bunch about the change that Nick Sirianni needed to make in terms of his approach, his temper. He has given a reason and a way that he has found to help harness that and maybe behave a little differently. We will hear from Sirianni next about what he has done. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You're out of control, Jack.
2:30 return every day.
Really?
No, I got no idea.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So,
might be the worst thing you guys have ever introduced to me.
So, Jack texted me the other night, because Jack knows that I'm a TikToksman, right? And he's like, have you seen the Costco guys? I was like, yes, I've seen the Costco guys. I'm a TikTok guy. I see them all the time. They're terrible, but you can't turn them off.
By the way, you said, and yes, I do have a strong opinion on them.
Yes, of course. Well, everyone has a strong opinion on the Costco guys, but I don't think anybody is a big fan of AJ and Big Justice.
No.
But I do like Big Justice.
You do. You like
AJ's an issue.
Yeah,
yeah. AJ's a problem.
So you're a chicken bake guy over a double chunk chocolate cookie.
It's the
guy.
Way he says double chunk chocolate cookie.
Double chunk chocolate cookie.
The laugh, dude. The laugh is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like the stuff of nightmares.
He used to be a
fake wrestler. Yeah,
a pro wrestler.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. First thing I thought of.
Well, the thing about Jack is his initial text was, I hate these guys so much, and here we are, 5 or 6 days later, every day he's talking to me about AJ and Big Justice, and now... That's what we do. We bring
the boom. Now you push this on our listening audience.
Yeah. These guys can't stop.
Now they have to go check it out.
The guy can't stop.
And they got to be subjected to this like I was.
Because it just jacks up your algorithm, too. All you're going to see for the next is all...
I got out of there.
You did?
I got out in time. Although, listen, I watched it for like 15, 20 minutes straight, though.
Well, now what I get is...
That's a lot of Big Justice and AJ content.
I get a lot of old AJ and Big Justice content now when they were trying to go viral like 8 years ago. So now I get people that found the old content in my feed as well. It's Jack's fault.
Yeah.
We can't be playing the boom song every day. We didn't even have a meeting about this.
Believe me, if I could do it at 3:15 like they say, a quarter past 3, I would. But I don't have that. We're not breaking at that point.
You're a mega fan of AJ and Big Justice.
I might be.
Yeah. So Nick Sirianni, he is recognized, we've all talked about it a bunch, that his sideline demeanor, even maybe his practice demeanor, mm-hmm. his demeanor with fans, just maybe getting a little too Delco every once in a while, getting a little too jacked up, is a problem for some of the players, certainly a problem for Jalen, and is not what they need out of him. But it's a big change in his personality. And he talked today about how he has sort of attacked that change.
You know, one thing that I read when I was reading a leadership book this off season was, if you want everyone around you to have accountability and you want yourself to have accountability, then you know, you fussing at the refs is not. It's almost like, hey, this happened, so I'm going to blame that. Right. And so when I read that, I was like, yeah, that hit me like some sort of way.
Now, first of all, good on Nick Sirianni and taking the steps during the offseason to figure out a way to not be such a temperamental, you know, baby or whatever. But the big question is, do we really think that Nick Sirianni read a book this offseason?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Jack, do you think Nick Sirianni read a whole book?
Half the book.
Okay. All right.
I haven't finished a book in a while.
Yeah, well, like, you're not a good person to ask. Well, Could you even imagine somebody reading a book, a whole book?
Can I imagine?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
And all these frauds that listen to it, that doesn't count either.
It does count.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, it does count. That's today's age.
It's a podcast.
It's not a podcast.
Whatever. I'm just saying, that's what people do nowadays, man.
It's not a podcast.
And you got to get some ink under the nails, too. Like, miss me with the Kindle.
Jack asked today.
Some ink under the nails.
Jack asked us if we thought the book that he read was The Art of War.
I would have been more impressed.
Yeah.
Oh, did Nick went and read the book, The Art of War?
Yeah.
No, Nick, I don't think so.
Probably not. No. I do like the idea, though, that if you're blaming the ref, you are saying that you are not responsible for what went wrong. And I think it's a good example to set, really, for the other players about, for the players, for everybody, about what is, look, he has to work the refs a little bit. Mm-hmm. But turning it into the reason, I think, does sort of skirt the accountability of who's, like when we talked about Nick Nurse not calling that timeout or calling the timeout.
Yes.
And it was actually a listener, this guy Dana, who is a referee, and he was like, if Nick Nurse wanted the timeout, he could have gotten the timeout.
Yep.
And I was like, you're right. And I think Nick sort of taking that and saying, I'm setting an example, you know, I need to be accountable for the things I did wrong. I think it's good. Uh-oh.
Well, I'm trying to see how I want to answer this.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's a bad thing. Let me just get that out of the way. Nobody has to be nervous. I think it's a good thing, honestly. I'm just looking at the impact of it, the calls for it, and whether or not it's going to be effective for him moving forward. I certainly hope it is. We won't know until he gets in the game. You know, the one thing that Nick has to get comfortable with is the role that he's in and not having control of everything.
Yep.
Because some of this is frustration because I don't have control. I'm not as involved, right? So some of it is, let me go after the referee to show how much I care and this and that and the other. And really, this isn't basketball. So as a coach, you shouldn't be behaving like this on a sideline of an NFL game. Like you're throwing temper tantrums up and down the sideline about everything. You're snatching your headphones off. You're clearly using F-bombs and this and that and other. You're pointing at the other side of the field at players and all this other stuff. Like that stuff doesn't do anything to help you win. And while it was okay when you were winning 2 years ago, you see how it can rub people the wrong way, including your own players, when things aren't going well. They need you to be the cerebral one with answers, not the one that can't control his emotions on the sideline and is going haywire about how much you care and then telling us it's in your Italian blood. Like that's not going to get it. It's actually embarrassing for an owner like Jeffrey Lurie to have his coach who had employed one of the greatest head coaches for years and didn't act like this on the sideline.
Didn't have a temper tantrum on the sideline.
Did not do this stuff on the sideline for a decade and a half. So that stuff, when you don't win, people are like, oh, you know what? That's out. When you go 13-4 and you get to the Super Bowl, oh, we can deal with it. You know, it's just coach showing how much he cares. Guess what? When things aren't going well and you lose 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 in an embarrassing fashion, we can do with all that extra stuff. Do without it. We don't need it. Players obviously didn't appreciate it. Jalen didn't appreciate it. So you can see how you're having an effect on your players with this stuff. It's something that I'm happy he's acknowledged and addressed. But we won't know until he gets in the game and there's a tough play, there's a stretch in the fourth quarter or what have you. And how does he handle that on the sideline?
I also think it's interesting to think about, okay, you're not doing that anymore. That is not what you're going to be. Well, what are you then, right? Because he has obviously spent a good part of his career operating in a certain way. This is how I'm effective. It's part of how I'm effective. And then all of a sudden, it's like a player who has a move that always works. And all of a sudden, the defense has decided they're taking that move away. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your new move? And the great ones figure it out. Okay, you're going to take this away from me. I'm going to do this. It was, you remember, this was at the best of his career. But at one point, James Harden was so hard to guard, they started guarding him from behind, mm-hmm. like his left hand, just to try to take it away, right? Yeah. Whatever. So the question for me is not, or to a certain extent, it's can Nick Sirianni not do this anymore? Can he do this when the times get tough? The second question is, okay, if you're not doing that, have you decided what your tact is now? How are you operating? Because we don't need you to just be completely quiet and not do anything at all.
Right.
You're going to have to find a new way. Not only do you have to stop doing this, you have to find a new that. You're going to have to be effective in a new way, which is a completely separate challenge from not exploding on the sidelines. That's controlling your temper. That's one other thing. But figuring out how to be effective while not doing that is a complete other challenge for him. You know?
And I'm not saying he should never show emotion. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. He's a human. I understand the game of football is emotional. Something gets you fired up in the heat of the moment. I understand that. I'm just saying it can't be a topic in a show every week about your actions on the sideline. The idea that Big Dom has to control you. And like, we don't need to be talking about that stuff. Right? Like we don't need to be doing that. The only reason we are talking about it is because you aren't winning football games, and this became a sideline act over there.
I remember not being here and seeing him do the thing with the Chiefs fans,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, man, you're really asking for it, aren't you? Can't you just win the game against the Chiefs and go home?
And be done with it.
Just be done. Congrats. You can point to the scoreboard and leave. You don't need that.
You know what happens and what's going to happen, Spike? See, a lot of coaches in this league, especially the ones that's been around a long time, they take every win and appreciate it. They don't do the gloating thing.
Right.
They know how hard it is to win in this league. They know how quickly things can change. You don't see coaches doing that stuff in the NFL, man.
Well, there's just a reason for it. The league will humble you like it did last year.
The league will humble you, man.
We are talking about the ceiling and the floor for the Eagles this year. ESPN had their ceiling at 13-4, their floor at 8-9. What do you think is more likely? 215-592-9494. We'll get back to it right after I tell you about the gold standard and buying a new Hyundai. Now, I know how we feel about gold standard. Didn't always work well here in Philadelphia. But John Ashdale, the Cars Are in Colonial, is going to make the gold standard mean something good. They're going to help you buy a car fast. Nobody wants to be sitting in a dealership for 3 hours waiting to buy a car. At Colonial, they've got over 200 vehicles in stock. They're going to have whatever you need, especially, you know, you're worried about price. They've got over 80 new Hyundais under 30 grand. Financing, easy, as low as 0% on select 2024s. And no matter what condition your trade's in, even if it's a piece of junk, even if it doesn't run, they're going to give you $6,500 for it, guaranteed. Every new Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Online, 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Gary in Vineland. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What up, Gary?
I was told the addition of the Rizzler is what took it to the next level for the Costco guys.
I agree.
Yeah.
My kids are saying.
Yeah, so you can tell them I am pro Rizzler. I'm just against AJ. And look, I have nothing personal against AJ and Big Justice, but Rizzler, it's very hard not to be a Rizzler fan.
And you know what I wanted to ask you last week, but you threw me off with the shark versus the bear.
Yeah.
Did you see your girls out there throwing out the first pitch, make some money for the pets?
I did. Hawk to a girl, Haley Welch.
Oh, yeah.
So she threw out the first pitch.
Explain that one to the kids in the stadium.
Well, so, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So we had decided we missed this, but I got to tell you, Gary. So they have Haley Welch throw out the first pitch at the Hawk to a girl at the Mets game. She is raising money for vet dogs that they give to veterans, I think, with PTSD. Mm-hmm. So everyone in New York melts down. How do I explain this to my kids? Blah, 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 blah. Let me ask you something. You go to a Phillies game, and there's five people that throw out first pitches. Your kid asking you to explain all those things? I have an answer for you. I don't know who that is, honey.
Yeah, and just move on. What are we doing here?
The number of famous people that you don't want to have to explain
exactly
why they're famous, the list is...
I just don't explain it. Yeah.
It's very long.
Yeah.
I would want... There's two people in this world I need to throw out a first pitch at a Phillies game. Number one is Haley Welch, the Hawk to a girl. Oh. I would endorse it. Would love to have her in here. Number two is Jack Fritz. I think Fritz should throw out a first pitch. I think it's disgraceful that it has
that
taken
hasn't
this
happened
long.
Yet. Like, honestly, yes,
he is a great ambassador for the team. But you know who else would be a great ambassador for a team? The girl who talked about spitting on that thing. Both of them. Mm. Maybe they could throw out a first pitch at the same time. But mm-mm. I would endorse both of them.
I don't want Jack anywhere near it.
Seriously, what's the dilemma? Like, who's that daddy? I don't know, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, why did the whole Mets run this year has been fueled by meme after meme. First it was Grimace, then one of the guys on the team had some ridiculous song. So now you're complaining about who's throwing out the first pitch because you lost a couple of games?
Like, yeah.
That's how you handle it, Gary. If your kid asks you, Daddy, who is that? I don't know, honey.
Yeah.
Buy her a friggin' ice cream and everything's fine.
She's moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Gary.
It's a first pitch. She's not the pitcher.
Yes. Does anyone even pay attention to the first pitch unless
exactly.
You're a friend doing it?
Half the stadium's not even in there when the first pitch happens.
Yeah. When I rang the bell at the Sixers game, in my head, it was the most grand thing that could ever happen. And then you get on the court and you're like, nobody cares that I am ringing the bell except for me, my friends, and my family.
Yeah, we cared.
Yes,
we
my friends. Yes, my friends. Yes. But anyway, Gary, Eagles, closer to 13 wins or 8 wins? What's more likely?
I think closer to 13. I like the additions. I like the way people are. When I was a coach, you know, you just look at these players and, you know, they're taking accountability for what they did and they're working on getting better, not just saying, it wasn't my fault.
I think that is true. I think, you know, the tough part about saying either or is you can't say, hey, I think they're an 11-win team. You have to say what is more likely to happen. I think all of those things have been positive. I think it's been a positive camp. I do think that there is literally not one thing on defense that I think is a sure thing right now. Not one thing. Not one thing. And comparing that to 2 years ago or even what a mid-pack defense looks like, you can at least usually look and say, well, we can count on this, we can count on that. But I look at the Eagles' defense, and I don't think we can count on the pass rush. I don't think we can count on the secondary. I don't think we can count on line. Now, they might all work out.
Right.
But for me to say that I know they'll be good enough... you know, so, and if the Eagles have the 24th,
I'm not even there.
Yeah, and if the Eagles have the 24th ranked defense, to me, it's tough to be a 13-win team. It could happen. It could certainly happen.
You win a lot of shootouts. You'd have to win a lot of shootouts.
Yeah, that's sort of why I think 8 is more like. I'm really fine with my 10 prediction, but if you made that 13 wins is a really, really, really good team and a really successful season.
But I think the one thing is the coach. I mean, I think he can bring this together. He's the guy that designed the scheme. You know, I think that could
Kellen Moore, you mean?
Missing cog.
Kellen Moore. Or you're talking about Sirianni. Oh, Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah. So, Gary, you want to be in the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League.
Yeah.
Will you tell us why you would be a good addition?
I will solve your Yoshi problem. I have no idea. I've never met Yoshi before in my life. But I think he's a great guy and a great caller, and he would be my partner. They can solve your dilemma.
Okay, so you are offering to split the team with Yoshi as your way into the league. I will say it does show compromise and kindness. You know,
and it helps you guys out because now you don't have that dilemma of can we let Yoshi in, and then everybody else is going to be calling you up. Oh, I was in last year. How come I can't get in?
It's a good idea, Gary.
Problem solver.
All right, and a problem solver. He's putting that on the list as well. You're on the list. I'm not saying you're in the league, but I'm saying you're on the list. Now, have we had Jack Eich? Have we had co-owners of a team previously in the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League?
1 year, Chuck had a GM. So he co-owned a team, but I don't think the GM showed up for the draft.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Mark's had a GM.
Okay.
Know? So but most likely no.
Okay.
If Gary wants,
it's a good idea. It's a good idea. He threw it in there. It's a creative answer and show that he's a problem solver. You know.
So, well, I will say this.
Just like the Hawk Tua girl.
I will say this.
She did solve a problem.
Speaking of co-owners, not to discuss show business on the air, but since
uh-oh.
We're here, I don't want contestants bringing people with them.
Okay.
Leave your friends at
home.
To the
party, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to tell them.
Well, that's the thing, because when you bring people to the draft, they're not invested. They're just there creating chaos and
making noise.
Yes,
why am I talking to you?
Yes,
you're not
getting
even
into arguments with other people. Like,
well, let me ask you this, though. And just to bring up something that you brought up before.
Yeah, you're not going to a gang fight. You don't need backup.
Right.
It's a fantasy football league draft at Chickies and Pete's.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we have to share the space with the midday show.
Yes. Well, and that's part of the reason why I don't want the two shows.
I'm working on that. I want them to be on the catwalk. But the whole draft can
all
be on the catwalk.
Them, yes.
Yes. Well, yes.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Now, I am all for don't bring anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you said once that you had a league member who brought
Yes. Okay. Well, no. That's what I'm saying. We've allowed this and it got out of hand. That's what I mean. It got out of hand.
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm saying. That was the earlier days and last year was the tipping point for
me. Okay. Yes. All right. Now,
I just want to keep the chaos down is all I'm doing. When you bring other people, like I said, they aren't there to draft. They're just there.
Yes. To cause ruckus.
Yes.
Jack, can we either have you tell them don't bring anyone or just make Ava do it?
Put it like this. Since we don't control Chickies and Pete's, if they want to stay out in the other area and wait till the draft is over with, that's fine.
Yeah, but you can't come into our room.
I don't need extra people. You know, bringing two buddies with you. And,
how about this?
Yeah, I don't need all that.
I got wristbands at home from one of our lottery parties. Maybe we give everyone who is an actual drafter a wristband.
And the big key here, you know, Ike and I, both good guys.
Yep.
Spike's, you know, in public settings, a little testy.
I can be testy.
So, like, you're dealing with a different animal.
Yes.
True.
Well,
you don't want to get on Spike's bad side.
Well, what happens, unfortunately, is even though I'm just show host guy now, you put me in a situation where I got to be, when nobody's being boss guy, I'm going to be boss guy.
That's right.
It's your default. Yeah. And I can. Do you remember the Spike you didn't like from the first few weeks of the show? That is like more similar to that guy. You don't want that. You just want like having fun. I'll even have a beer or something, you know, if everybody behaves.
We've always said you're just a shot and a beer guy.
Yes, that's me. This is a regular guy, you know.
Shot and a beer.
Yeah.
I like it.
Just a regular guy. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, who is the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. What is more likely for the Eagles, 13-4 or 8-9? Ike, what do we think the percentages are on this?
At least 80 plus 13-4.
82%.
Yeah.
13-4.
Never a doubt.
It's been a while since I got that close.
Yeah. That's all right. Everybody's
I do
wrong.
Like the Price is Right. I can't go over.
Can't go over.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were not. So everybody's wrong, but that's fine. So the Eagles made a trade today. They got what we expect to be their third wide receiver, Jahan Dotson from the Washington Commanders. We will have our old friend, Brian Mitchell, former Eagle and co-host of B. Mitch and Finley on
about that too.
106.7 The Fan. So we will find out what we have in Jahan Dotson and why, if he's so good, would the Commanders trade him in the division. We will find that out next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.